Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 5. St. Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it's light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" This is the word of the Lord. It was last Sunday morning that it happened, 2 a.m., spring forward, daylight savings time. We lose that hour of sleep. That was 1 week ago today. And that day really has an impact, has an impact on me. Get to church, and it's still very dark out. In fact, it's not till people are coming to the first service when the sun is actually starting to come up. You may not have noticed it from the bulletin statistics because we don't track a week-over-week church attendance, but last Sunday our church attendance was 125 less than the previous Sunday. We'll blame spring break for that, right? That also had an impact on that. 125 people, that's a lot. But then the flip side, last Sunday night after Conroe Bible study, I got out there at 7 o'clock and it's still light out, so the days are longer. But that day when the time change happens, and Texas is one of those states that follows that, it's really evident. It's really evident in the morning when it takes a while for the sun to get up, and then the end of the day, you got that longer day. We notice it. But once we're past that one day of the year, we don't notice it that much. We enjoy the longer days, and we just kind of get on with our life, but it's not that prominent. This morning, Paul uses a picture of light and dark to describe the things of God versus the things of evil. And in our spiritual life, there are times when we really notice this. Certainly on Good Friday, when you come into church and the sanctuary is darkened and it's a tenebrae service, a service of darkness and quietness, it's before our eyes. And then you come back on Easter Sunday, and it doesn't matter if the sun is out or not, the light of the gospel is shining forth and the light is there. And those 2 days, Good Friday and Easter Sunday, darkness and light. But as we go through our life, as we go through the church year, we might not notice it a whole lot. But we do today. We do today on this Sunday when we're reminded that Jesus brings light into this world. He's doing it for us this morning as we're gathered around the Word of God. As we're confessing our sins and hearing about our Savior. As we're receiving the Lord's Supper for the assurance of our forgiveness. We see the contrast and Paul would have us see it. And to know that it's not just something that happened a long time ago, when Jesus died and rose again, and not just the day that we were called to faith, but every day of our life is darkness and light. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses a couple different pictures. In chapter 2, he uses the idea of spiritual death and spiritual life to draw the contrast. In this chapter, it's spiritual darkness and spiritual light that he uses. Listen again to what Paul says in that first verse. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." You were once darkness. Darkness describes the sinful mind apart from faith in Christ. And that was you and that was me the moment our life began in our mother's womb. We were conceived and born dead in sin, in spiritual darkness, and it does not matter if you remember it or not. It was absolutely true that we were without that light of the Lord. The unbeliever who still is in the darkness lives that way. And that doesn't mean they're just kind of groping around looking to try to find a way through life. The unbelieving mind loves the darkness. In fact, it thrives in the darkness. Not everybody in this world is committed to those shameful deeds of darkness that Paul doesn't even like to mention. But the person without faith in Christ is still in the dark. They might just allow for alternative lifestyles or different choices, but it's spiritual darkness. The contrast is strong in these verses. That is what you were, but now you are light in the Lord. Now the light of the gospel has completely transformed you. Not just a fact of seeing the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus is in our heart. The light of Jesus guides everything that we do as believers. It's completely changed us so that we live as children of the light. Every day of our life, we live as people who've been given that gift of faith. It's changed everything about us. We don't have to try to figure out what that means for us. We don't have to try to determine how we should live as children of the light. God gives us the guidance from His Word. That light is goodness, and it's righteousness, and it's truth. Those aren't subjective. They're based on what God's Word says about goodness, what is good and right and pleasing to the Lord, what is righteous and holy in God's sight, and what is truthful. Those things are dictated for us by God's Word, and that's the way we live. That's why our service started this morning with some kind of familiar sections of Scripture that we responded to. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? God has given us the light of His Word so that every day in this dark world, we see our Savior. A Sunday morning is a unique opportunity to be reminded of that. Gathered together, confessing our sin and hearing the good news of our forgiveness, the light is shining brightly. But this is a dark world that we live in. And we are called to draw a distinction between the light of Christ and the darkness of sin. And Paul gives us that encouragement in our text when he says, fruit of light consists in all goodness, and he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Have nothing to do with, rather expose. The light of God always exposes the darkness of sin. They can't exist together. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in a second letter, he said, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? They don't fit. People who are light in the Lord do not fit with the spiritual darkness in this world. Every day of our life, we're absolutely different. A couple of weeks ago, we heard Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talking about letting our light shine and that we would never cover it up. The city on the hill would not dim its light so people can't see. You let it shine. And none of us would deliberately put a basket over our faith. None of us would deliberately keep quiet. And yet sometimes we recognize we're a bit dim. Paul talks here about fruitless deeds of darkness. I think we could all agree on what those things are. Those sinful behaviors that serve no good except to hurt people. But there are also fruitless deeds that we participate in that are not necessarily sinful or wrong. For example, it's not sinful for me to take 3 hours and watch a ball game and do nothing else except sit on my couch and watch a ball game. That's not sinful, but it's probably fruitless. Unless I would say, well, I'm relaxing or I'm, you know, that's my leisure time, whatever. But that's one of those things, there's really not a point. Or you know, a couple hours on Facebook or in the internet, you know, that's not necessarily sinful. But is there a lot of value in finding out what everybody else is doing? Not necessarily sinful. But when we sometimes set aside the things that we should be giving our attention to, the things that God would have us do as individual believers, wherever He's called us in life, when we set those things aside, it's a little bit easier to walk into the darkness. There's a great example in the Old Testament, an example of King David, who's the man after the Lord's own heart, who was the guy that was chosen to lead Israel. Later in his reign, his kingdom was pretty secure. In the time of the year when the kings go out to war, David decided to stay at home. That wasn't necessarily sinful. And maybe even his general said, David, why don't you stay back at the palace? Because we don't want to lose you in battle. So just stay here. We'll go out and fight the war. So David said, okay. When he stayed home, David got bored. And rather than praying for his soldiers, and rather than going to the house of the Lord, David went up to his roof. And he looked next door. And he lusted. And he acted on that lust. And you know the rest of the details, all those shameful things that David did that we don't like to talk about really, but the scriptures describe in a lot of detail. That's what happens. So for us, you know, for young people who have chores in the house, it can be very easy to put those things aside and say, I'll get to it later. I gotta do this. It produces a fight with a parent. You know, it produces anger when you're corrected. For young adults, who have all the freedom in the world and can do anything they want to with their life, it becomes very easy to set aside helping other people because I'm just too busy with what I want to get done. And that temptation, I think, is there also later in life when you're finally retired and you don't have any more responsibilities. You can do anything you want to do. I'll let you know if I have some time to help you out. Whatever stage in life, wherever God has placed us in life, the temptation is there to maybe set aside some of our responsibilities, and before we know it, it's dark. It's dark with greed. It's dark with selfishness. All kinds of sins. Shameful deeds of darkness. But then the light of God comes in. Then God does us an amazing favor by letting the light of His law shine brightly into our hearts and every area of our life to expose those shameful deeds of darkness so that we stand before God and His Word without excuse. We stand before God completely humbled and completely aware that we have no right to be here. And then the light of the love shines. Light of the gospel comes forth. And that message of forgiveness is announced and proclaimed, delivered, received. And we know that we're light in the Lord. We're light in the Lord because of what Jesus did for us. Go back to that Good Friday. All the darkness there on Good Friday, all the darkness around Calvary, around Jerusalem, around the whole land, we know why it was dark, because of our sin. We know that Jesus was there suffering that sin, making that payment for our sin. And we know that even in His death, there's that flicker of light. We know there's that glimpse of hope because Jesus said, it is finished. And Jesus promised 3 days later He would rise. And so we go to church on Easter Sunday and we're at peace. We're impacted by the light of the gospel. And we let that light shine. That's what Paul talks about in the last verse of our text. He says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it's the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's happened to us again this morning. The light of the gospel has shone into our hearts through the Word of God, through that message of forgiveness, the light is on. And the contrast is clear between those shameful things of darkness and the light of our Savior. And that's what we go out into the world with. That's why we go out into the world with the light. That's why last Sunday afternoon, 50 to 60 members of our congregation gathered at Champions Forest Drive, having decorated a large float for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and walked down 1960 handing out invitations to our congregation and to our school. We got 10,000 cards handed out and just about 4,000 canned koozies handed out to people who are thirsty, not for some earthly beverage, but for the living water. The light of the Lord motivates us to do that. That's why this past week we have 6 visitors from Illinois Lutheran High School who are with us, getting out into the neighborhoods around our church, inviting people to come to our Easter services, letting their light shine. And sometimes you see the strong contrast when that door is slammed or somebody says, "Don't bother me with that light." That can be frustrating and discouraging, but it doesn't stop us from planting what we called gospel seeds, 150 of them maybe, that those kids got out there letting people know about Jesus, the light of the world, their Savior and ours. Every day, there's light and darkness. And every day, that distinction is clear because every day we're guided by the light of God's Word and we're compelled to bring that light out into the world. Some people keep their eyes closed. Some people say, "Don't bother, don't wake me up. I'm going to stay right where I'm at." But not us. Not us who have that light, who are now light in the Lord and live that way. And our prayer is not those other people either. Our prayer is that our light that we let shine, the light of the gospel, would open those eyes and bring them to the knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. November 5th is the day you'll gain that extra hour of sleep back. Maybe. You'll probably stay up later because there'll be a ball game on or something, and you say, "I can stay up, I get an extra hour of sleep," and you'll miss it. Until then, we'll enjoy the longer days, right? That happens naturally, even without time change. And maybe we feel like we're a little bit more fruitful, we get some more things done, get home from work, and we can get at the yard and do those other things. We're going to keep working. Whether the days are short or the days are long, we're going to keep working because every day is light and darkness. Until that day when the light appears, when Jesus comes back, then the night is over and the working is finished. But until that day, we're working because we know that day is coming. And we know many people are on the outside and they'll be there saying, "Let me in." And Jesus say, "I don't know you." But he knows you. He knows me. He's turned the light on in our heart. And he sent us out with that light of the gospel. As we wait for him, we pray, "Lord, come quickly. This place is dark. Lord, keep us strong in the light of your love. And Lord, strengthen us through that light to let it shine in this world and use it to open the eyes of those who are blind." We ask those things and pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen.